Hello, Sharks fans. I'm Dan Rusinowski. You are listening to another Teal Town podcast.
Good evening, Sharks fans. It is Tuesday night, October 9th, 2018, and the San Jose Sharks are victorious tonight. Welcome to Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks postgame show. To be a part of the show, there are multiple ways to interact with us. You can join us right now in the YouTube chat, whether you're watching us on a web browser or on the YouTube app. You can also use the hashtag TealTownUSA and check us out there on the Twitter machine. Of course, follow us on Twitter at TealTownUSA, along with all of our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and of course, YouTube. Make sure you hit that smash that subscribe button. We are getting closer to our 1,000 subscriber goal. Let's get at it right now. Let's say hello to Rocket Backhander and AJ Strong. Guys, how are you tonight?
I'm fabulous. I'm wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Fabulous.
Oh, we're more fabulous than Gritty can ever be. Let's put it that way. And that's why, if you can't tell, that's why Sharky's getting some love on the show tonight, because after all, he is the better mascot. So, oh my, what a turnaround from losing 4-0 to the New York Islanders. The Sharks go on and win 8-2. And as I say when I lose my voice, let's talk about this game. In the first period, the Sharks really had a lot of jump going on. And it really showed when Logan Couture scored 3:17 into the game. Looked like a great wrist shot that just snuck underneath Ryan Elliott to make it 1-0 San Jose. Brock, it just seemed like a different Sharks squad from the night before.
Yeah, they were definitely jumping, for sure. I felt that they knew that they had time on their side because that's a tough thing to say. They didn't have time on their side, and they needed to be quick and take Philly off guard before Philly had a chance to figure them out. And that worked.
Absolutely. And then just 11 seconds later, was not a franchise record. Kevin LeBanc, with a beautiful toe drag, gets to pass. Babs parries it for his first of the season at 3:28. AJ, the captain getting off the schneid.
Captain getting off the schneid. I liked Pavelski's second goal better, just because they had to review it. But, solid one. But I have to disagree with you as to what you took at the beginning. I thought Philadelphia actually brought a lot of pressure early in the first couple of minutes. It is their home opener. It's the introduction of their nightmare. You know, if you've seen the movie, it doesn't hold a candle to Gritty. But the introduction of all that.
Wow.
So I thought Philly had tons of pressure early, and Couture just, on that 2-on-1, kind of sucked the air out of the building a little bit. And then, yes, 11 seconds later, burying LeBanc's shot, just the boober. We're talking about a city that throws snowballs at Santa Claus, and they were ready to be upset. So, yeah, Pavelski, that's that first goal, nice. Not quite as good
as the second.
They killed
the hitch bot.
Yes.
And AJ kind of leading right into the second goal by Joe Pavelski. He banged it home from LeBanc, who pretty much just threw it on net, and Pavelski found it. It went to review because they weren't sure if it had gone across the line. And at first take, it didn't look like it did, but it did go through. They had to change the clock back up a little bit at 12:21. Pav's second of the season. LeBanc, his second apple of the game. A 12:21 to make it 3-0 San Jose. And then all hell broke loose. It's like, what? What? What do you mean? The Sharks had a power play? And they scored? is this real life? Evander Kane. It was not a distinct kicking motion. He did get it deflected off of a Justin Braun's shot, who just threw it on net. Throw things at the net. Good things can happen, folks. The Sharks get on the power play board. Rocket, Evander Kane's third of the season. Oh, my.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to put that little drum away. And this was the one, was this one where the second power play unit scored?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think this has been a kind of a trend. I mean, this is a small sample size. Keep in mind, it's still a very small sample size. I'm going to say that for a while, get used to it. But like, it feels like that second unit is going to get it done. And that first unit just needs to be rewritten. I don't know how, but it needs to be fixed, nipped and tucked somehow. Yeah.
Just clean up a skosh, I think AJ would say. So AJ, 23 shots on goal in the first period. I mean, wow, too short of the franchise record for most shots in a period, but these guys came out to play tonight.
Dude, stop staring at me like this. It's disconcerting. It's disconcerting. Stop it. Anyway.
They caught on to it, folks.
Very disconcerting. No, there's a couple things between Pavs burying the bank shot. You had Drew taking a cross-check penalty. And it took over a minute for Philly to actually gain the zone. They only got one shot on goal. It was all Philly. After that, for quite some time, the Sharks at that point 0-for-11 on the power play, and then Meyer takes the first of two delay of game penalties in this one. But they kill it. Pav scores on that, and a bunch of Philadelphia fans are still going, "Why is Elliott still in the game?" But I digress. Sorensen would get hooked. Kane scores just a power play goal. Like, everybody's, is this real life? I mean, really? Yeah. But the Sharks, oh, no. No, they didn't short. They did not short. The Sharks score four times on their first 21 shots on goal in this game. And the fact that they got such a ridiculous, 23 shots on goal in this first period. Are you kidding me? So, I mean, this is a first period that felt like after the first three games, you know, remember, this is the Sharks' first regulation win of the season. This had been building, and we talked about this yesterday after the Islander game, where the Sharks needed a game like this. I thought it was going to come against the Rangers, but...
Let's hope it does.
Yeah, it came against Philly, and I'm fine with that. So, I mean, way to come out and just... Oh man, the Sharks so far building up it. Can we face everybody having their home opener? Because that seems to be the cure, or that's what cures the Sharks' ills, is that we just go beat a team when they're having their home opener.
Yeah, it seems like they did pretty good there, right? Moving onward to the second period, after all that, after four goals, which by the way. Those four goals in the first period matched the season total for the Sharks this season so far. So good on them. Then the Sharks got into a little bit of some penalty trouble. Took a little bit. And then Shane Gostisbehere, yes, the friendly ghost for the Flyers, gets on the board. His first of the season outside, taking a quick outside shot with a craziness in front of Arundel. Bangs at home at 4:56. Rocket, did you have a little bit of concern once they made it 4-1? Because they seemed like the Flyers had gained some momentum and kind of slowed the Sharks down a little bit in that second frame.
No, I don't think so at all. I think that the Flyers were on a rush towards the net, and it really, there was a lot of traffic, and it went just straight through. I don't think he had much of a chance, and I don't really blame anybody for anything. It was just a good goal. It was a good hard goal by the Philadelphia Flyers. And that's, again, the word that I want to say is it is hard. And they both played. Philadelphia is a really physical team. and kind of a faster team now that they're a bit younger. And I think that San Jose is able to match their speed and also their physicality, which is a bit surprising, but they handled them nicely. So, I mean, like, yeah, if you show up and play 60 minutes of hard hockey, you don't have to get hard.
Hey now.
Yeah.
Hey now. And
if
they...
you face either of us again during this, I'm going to just going to kill the session, bro.
Oh, come on.
Stop it. All right. It's not funny. All right. Game show mode is off.
Okay. Later in the period, the Sharks did get another goal back. Evander Kane, his second of the game. As you said on Twitter, he's back to a goal per game pace. AJ, nice shot. Way to kind of bury the chances for anything for the Sharks, for the Flyers, I should say, to get an idea of getting back into this game.
Yeah, I do think that was kind of like the point where they get that first goal and it... Are you okay, Rock?
Sorry, I'm in a peach tea.
Peach tea for the win.
Can I get some more peach tea, please?
Yeah, I mean, after Gus Despair got that power play goal, and you have to admit, though, you look at that Gus Despair goal, I mean, four out of the five Flyers were mauling Dell at that point. They kick it out to the top. Gus Despair puts it up high as while Dell was splayed out. Yeah, that's going to go in 99 out of 100 times. So you would think that, yes, Philadelphia is going to take a scotch of momentum, but that would be it. The Flyers did get some great sustained pressure in the beginning of that second period. Sharks also, I don't know if they weren't communicating, they weren't covering well, they were missing some assignments. I think maybe they were just jacked from, you know, coming out into the second period having a 4-goal lead that could have been it. I don't know. But Kane got tripped. The 1-3-1 for me is just not working on the power play. I would like to see Steve Spott try to change something or to just like pitch a tent under the Liberty Bell. Like pick one or the other, man, because something needs to change. You get Braun with a delay of game. Now, here was the best part, though. This is when, for me, the Sharks flipped it back. After all that sustained pressure from Philadelphia, Braun took a delay of game penalty. The second delay of game penalty in this game. Those are unforced errors, people. Stop that. But the Sharks on that PK, they had five clears. Mm-hmm. That is fantastic. When Philadelphia on that particular power play could not gain any ozone. As soon as they came in, the Sharks were contesting the blue line. It was beautiful. It was something that like Guy Fieri would do, like, you know, a road show. It was beautiful. So they get that. But yeah, interference, Sharks power play. Kane scores, but it's about like 6 seconds after the power play's over. I give credit to the power play unit for getting that one.
Yeah.
So it might be 2 for 5 on the stat sheet. I'm going to call it 2.5 for 5 when I write it down and put it on the whiteboard back here next to Kayla.
That's funny. I feel exactly the same way.
And can I just one thing before we move on? Can somebody explain to Kenny Albert the difference between Barkley Gaudreau and... or Barkley Goodrow and Johnny Gaudreau. Like, there is a difference between the pronunciation, is all I'm saying. There's Goodrow and there's Gaudreau. And after one period of hearing Kenny Albert announce, I thought we had, like, signed Johnny Hockey. I'm just saying.
Which would be a great thing. I mean...
Oh, we could use a right winger. I don't have a problem with it.
Right? I mean, absolutely.
who would you replace?
I got to be honest. I would have no problem trading Johnny Gaudreau for Donskoy. I love me some Don Faller, but nobody is not going to. If you're... Doug Wilson makes that trade every single day.
That's Donskoy true.
For Gaudreau? Yeah. Most people are taking that.
Mm-hmm. Like Sleepy Mofo saying in the chat, he's on the East Coast. He don't care about fourth line forwards on the West Coast. he's tired. Yeah. No, but you're right. I heard about that. Gaudreau as Gaudreau. Or as I say, oh, good, row you.
Wow, you're reaching, bro.
No, I'm Eric, not Mike Ricci. Sorry. Moving on to the third period.
Okay, we're just to let everybody know after this, we're going to be going back to Hangouts, so I have a mute button.
Going to the third period, the Sharks get on another power play. Nice tic-tac-toe play as Carlson's shot deflects off of Tomas Hertl's stick. Hertl gets a second power play for goal for the Sharks. What? His second of the season. Carlson, his second assist. Burns, his first assist on the board at 3:27. This one puts away. They put a six-pack on the Flyers, make it 6-1. AJ, two power play goals. Third one, power play influence, technically. Yeah.
Yeah. On the score sheet, 2 for 5, technically, but essentially 3 for 5, because, again, Kane scored that 5 seconds after the power play was over. So, again, this is stuff that we talked about after the Islanders game yesterday, that the Sharks just needed to figure it out. And this a game like this was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen this quickly, but a game like this was, in fact, going to happen. The other thing, though, that I do think needs to kind of be taken into account for a hot second, we're still waiting on, I don't know, Burns and Carlson to find their mojo a little bit more. We're looking for a little bit better chemistry. I don't like Burns. I don't like Burns and Carlson together. I think they need to be separate. No, they just need to be separated. You know, you put Carlson on the top unit, you put Burns on the second unit. Do not put them on the same unit. Spread the wealth is what I'm saying. And sure. Carlson, I thought, looked way his most comfortable game by far tonight.
Yeah,
and absolutely. You know, and Burns finally did get on the score sheet, picking up his first assist of the season. You know, yep. Good on him. And something else that I tweeted out earlier: stick taps to Rourke Charchier. You know, coming in, having to fill the void. You know, sort of with Thornton being out, it goes 0-for-3 on his first faceoffs, and then after that. Was like 5-1. I mean, good job. Like, that's way to start, way to build, way to get better as the game progressed. That's all I'm saying. And throw into the account too that hello, the Sharks opened up a can of whoop ass, but what were two things that they did differently from the first three games? They started the world's most okayest goalie.
Right.
And they completely changed up all the lines today. You know, you had Meyer out there with Hertl and Couture. Mm-hmm. You had Donskoy out there with Suomela and Sorensen. Really? You had Charchier with Gaudreau and Melker Carlson. But then you had Pavelski as the pivot between Kane and LeBanc. And you know what? Pavelski, Kane, and LeBanc, I like that line tonight. And in fact, I think Pavelski, I thought it was a solid line. I thought, if anything, Pavelski kind of brought them down. I wouldn't mind seeing Charche in between LeBanc and Kane.
Ooh. Hmm. I don't know. Because Pavs had 2 goals tonight, though.
He did have 2 goals. And of course, you know, because he had 2 goals, what I just said makes me sound like a complete moron. But But there were a few times where Pavelski was showing his speed. He got beat twice during the power play just for being flat-footed and slow. Like, I don't know why he was out there in that situation where he was like at the point. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure Burns pinched or something and Pavelski went back up there and covered. But it was, I don't know. I would just like to see that as an option. That's all. Yeah, I know. Burns to forward, people, is what I'm saying. I'm kidding. No. I'm kidding. Do not DM
That's
me.
That's the second game in Stop a row it. That you've mentioned that.
Stop it. Because it's just fun. Because Carlson gives
silly.
That option.
Calm down.
I know. Carlson gives that option. But I just throw that out
make
there.
Make me say it.
I go out there for the it. I go out there for the hate tweets. And, of course, Alex Martinet, Niemi's number one fan, is saying, yes, do it. Put him there.
No.
But anyway, can we get into the third period, please? Look, Dylan opens the third period 30 seconds in by getting a slashing call. And the Sharks, the Sharks did have a shorthanded chance during that power or during that penalty kill.
Yes.
You can call it a power penalty kill. It's a great name.
That's true. And we'll get to that in a sec. But first, LeBanc flips it up ice to Timo Meier. He goes in and beats Brian Elliott like a rented mule. His second of the season, 7:04 p.m. Pacific time, was the perfect time for Timo time as he gets on the board, makes it 7-1. They kick the extra point as Rocket's throwing stuff at me.
No, I and think she's throwing stuff at Al Martinet's comment in the chat right now. Whatever.
Moving onward, late in the game, the Sharks take another penalty. And then a 2-on-1 develops between Sorensen and Barclay Goodrue. And Goodrue scores a shorthanded goal. They make that 2-point conversion just a second under 2 minutes to go in the game to make it 8-1. Unfortunately, the Flyers do score on that same power play. Wayne Simmons, his third, from Voracek and Giroux, and that's where you get the final score. Sharks win 8-2. Let's talk about goaltending. Martin Jones has been, these first three games. Aaron Dell comes in tonight, makes an unreal 31 saves on 33 shots. I'll start with you, Rock. What did you think from Aaron Dell? Sorry. Go ahead, Rocket.
I feel that Aaron Dell had a great performance tonight. He seems to have a calm, steady presence that I think carries over into the team's performance. Knowing that their goaltender is solid takes a huge amount of pressure off of the rest of the line. So I think anytime Aaron Dell's back there, they feel just as confident as they would with their starting goaltender. And I think that that helps out a lot. And with the other team, you know, they don't have a whole lot of notes on Aaron Dell as much as they do Martin Jones. And that helps, too, because they can't really prep their players as much for this guy as they can for Martin Jones. Another thing in our favor.
AJ, I will ask you the interesting question.
I could not disagree more with what Rocket just said. I thought there was more than a few times where Dell was splayed out, looked like he was scrambling all over the place. Again, you go back to that Gostabir goal where he was just granted, a lot of that has to do with the guys in front of him that were not clearing out. But if you look, Philly went off the pipe three times. Philly hit the pipe harder than Snoop Dogg. I tweeted that out. There was a lot of stuff off the pipe. But the fact of the matter is, Dell, give it to him. He made some key saves when he needed to, but it wasn't the most confidence-inspiring performance for me. I think it's one of those times where, you know, you don't need your goalie to be Patrick Waugh in his heyday when you're putting up 8 goals for him. You know what I mean? It's like you don't need the pitcher to be dialed in when you score 8 home runs or whatever. I thought Dell performed well. But I think what he did tonight, I don't know that Jones would have been any worse, any better. Who knows? But I don't want to give Dell too much credit for this, because this game could have easily been tied at one point, to be honest. Could have been tied 3-3.
So the question I was about to ask you was, there's no goaltending controversy here?
No.
None.
None?
hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me think about it. I will just say this to Rocket. I am unsure. No, there is no goaltending controversy.
Do you start? Here's the question I'll ask both of you. Do you start Aaron Dell Thursday night against the Rangers?
No.
No.
Nope.
You go back to Joner?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Alrighty.
Yeah, you gotta get, because you look at the losses. I don't know that you can hang a lot of that on. You might be able to try to hang opening night versus the Ducks on him. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, they lost 4-0 to the Islanders. Again, 4-0. You have to score in order for your goalie to help you out. So,
as we always say, in life, as in hockey, it takes goals to win.
That's all I'm saying. And you know what it is? It here's the thing that kind of puts a little bit of a bow on that, is the fact that this is a conversation that I used to get into with, if only I could remember who it was. But there's a conversation that I used to have, is the fact that sometimes there'd be a couple people that, for me, I felt rated Milan Mihalik a little too high on the, you know, like, oh, he's too valuable to get rid of, and no, you got to keep Milan or whatever. He's scored 30 goals. Okay, 30 goals, of course, not a number to sneeze at. But here, conversely, is my point. Tonight, Timo Meier scores a goal. How valuable was that goal at the end of the game? It's, you know, if you rate, you know, if we do, like, put it on a 5 scale, maybe even a 10 scale, and rate the value of a goal, like, Couture's opening goal is going to be, you know, 8, 9, 10. It's going to be rated somewhere in there. When you score a shorthanded goal in the final minutes of a game, when you're already up 7-2, I'm sorry, the value of that goal is going to be like 1. So it's one of those things where you can sit and we can look 5 months from now and go, man, you know, holy crap, Meier had himself a season. He had 32 goals. Well, okay, that's not something to sneeze at per se, but what were the value of some of those goals? Were 5 or 6 or 7 of them like a goal that he had tonight at the end of the game, where the value of it is lower? It's a lot of people, when they were talking about Marlowe's final season here, oh, he put up, you know, whatever it was, I think it was like 28 goals or something like that. And a lot of people forget, okay, that's awesome. But you need to take into account that 4 of those goals came in a rout versus the Avalanche. So the value of those goals come down a scotch. Whereas we remember that year where Roenick scored like 13 goals, but 9 of them were like game winners. So, you know, you have to keep things in, you know, in a perspective, is all I'm saying. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go on a rant.
All good. All good. Let's take a look at the final stats on the night. Sharks outshot the Flyers, obviously, especially after that first period, 48-33.
But 23-11 in the first.
Right. So essentially 25-22 for the rest of the game. Faceoffs, the Sharks had dominated that against the Islanders yesterday. Tonight they get kind of owned in the faceoff circle, 59-41.
Yeah, looking at you, Logan.
Couture with 20% on the faceoff circle. Yeesh. Mm-hmm. Both teams did get 2 power play goals each. A little concerning on the Sharks' end, since both Flyer goals were on the power play. Sharks go 2-for-5. The Flyers go 2-for-6.
2.5 hits. For 5.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. 21-15 in the hits department. Both teams had 8 blocks each. The Flyers doubled up on giveaways, 14-7 there. Kevin LeBanc, 4 assists on the night. I know the chat was talking about it earlier, but my oh my, Rocket. The banker giving away apples and having other people put and depositing it into the net.
Have a nice.
Yeah, I will say that he's really kind of turning into a very skilled elite playmaker. I've seen the way that he thinks on the ice is really creative. I feel that it's important that this system that he's in right now helps support that, because I think it's really his strength. So kudos to Pete DeBoer and the rest of the coaching staff for recognizing that they have talent on their squad and not suppressing it and forcing these guys into roles that they're not fully suited for.
Jay, you were saying have a night for Kevin LeBanc. 2 goals each for Kane and Pavs. The offense might have found himself tonight.
And how much does that have to do with the fact that the PDB said, hey, you know what? Look what just came off the luggage carousel. It right. was my line blender. Let's let's fire that bad boy up. So, I mean, putting LeBanc out there with Pavelski and Kane to start. Dude, solid choice. And LeBanc really coming into his own, and we talked about this towards the end of last season, that we started complaining about LeBanc becoming like Thornton Jr., saying, dude, you've got a hell of a shot. Use it sometimes. And he was becoming the Dishmaster 5000, patent pending. You know, look for my midnight infomercial. But I mean, we saw Pavelski clean up LeBanc's shot for Pavelski's first goal tonight. But Banker, I mean, have a night. This kid, and I'll be the first to say, you know, a game or two ago, I was a little worried that he was maybe a little undersized because he was getting run over. But I, you know, silly me, I neglected to realize that this kid's from Brooklyn. You know, they've put up with far worse is what I'm saying. So, I mean, I really, and this is the whole thing, is we can sit here and second guess PDB and different moves that he's made. But, hey, he looked at 3 games, or, you know, 3 games worth of the sample size, the small sample size, minus Joe Thornton, and he made moves. And how can you question them? I mean, look at the result tonight. It was solid. I loved Kane and LeBanc on the same line. And my favorite line, Couture, Meyer, and Hurdle? Are you kidding me? I mean,
I like that.
Yeah, that should be the top line for this team right now. That this could possibly be the top line for the next 5 years for the Sharks, to be honest.
But absolutely. We want to thank, one time it was 81, now it's 76 people watching us live right now on the YouTube channel. So thank you so much. If you haven't already, smash that subscribe button. You okay, AJ?
Yeah, I'm okay. I all of a sudden I heard you pimping subscribe and I was like, wow, he's actually talking about it.
Yes, you know, because we have 75 watching now. Great. Now I start talking, now it goes away. Wow. Smash that subscribe button, hit that little bell that's next to it. That'll notify when we are close to going on the air. And when we do go on the air, we do this after every game. And whenever Sharks news breaks or Barracuda news breaks, we will be here for you on the Teal Town USA YouTube channel.
Hey, drive to 1,000 and we're giving away prizes between now and the end of the month. Drive to 1,000.
Yeah.
And one of those prizes is tickets to Sharks versus Columbus at the Tank at the beginning of November. So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Line change. You know you want to subscribe.
Okay, bring the mic a little closer and do the voice a little softer.
All right. Is this okay?
Yes.
Is this all right? You need to subscribe. You need to hit that subscribe button and then hit that little bell so you get all the notifications. You got to get notified. All the cool kids are doing it.
Hit the button so you get the little, there it is.
Hashtag TTUSA 1000.
What Lord. She said.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
much.
Okay.
All right.
Did the numbers go up?
We're at 74. Yes. And
we now have 300 watching.
And everybody's enjoying this. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Ooh.
She's starting the woos now. Oh, boy. Yeah. Illuminato ASMR Sharks Experience. Felix Chow, hashtag rocket sexy voice. Okay. VGK coverage. notify me. Oh, boy. Yikes. All right. Shall we do it?
Let's do it.
All right.
The rap might need a rocket intro, I'm just saying.
Rocket, all yours.
What am I supposed to introduce?
Hello. It's
the do me a favor. Stretch, bend, grab and brace for the NHL reach around.
It's wrap around. Oh boy.
Stop fighting it, Eric.
Hey. All right.
It's better if you don't fight it.
Not going to go there. We have 6 games on the NHL docket this Tuesday night. One that's currently in progress. Maple Leafs 7, Stars 4 with 3:20 to go in the third. For the love of sanity, Austin Matthews, please get one more goal. Matthews has 2 on the night. John Tavares has 2 on the night. Marner, Hainsey, and downtown Connor Brown each have goals for the Leafs. Radulov, Sagan, and Ben, and Klingberg are your goal scorers for the Dallas Stars. The Sharks, we've told you about, 8-2 the final. Pavelski with 2, Kane with 2, Couture, Hurdle, Meyer, and Goodrow, while Simmons and Gostisbehere get the goals for the Flyers as the Sharks even up the record to 2-2. In Raleigh tonight, the Vancouver Canucks lose to the Carolina Hurricanes 5-3. The Hurricanes are now 3-0-1.
Hold on. We're talking about the Canucks game. I just want to be on record. Somebody, I can't remember who it was, but was on Twitter. They referred to the Canucks as a cat chasing a laser pointer. And that was like the best description that you could have. Even Sven Berchi scores twice tonight, and Rockets, you know, favorite player for the Canucks, Bo Horvat, he got one too. But it's the fact that, you look at Ottawa and the Vancouver Canucks are saying, hold my beer.
But they've been playing pretty decent hockey. I'll give them that. And Pettersson and Horvat and Besser, they definitely have.
You literally named the 3 decent players that team has.
That's true.
Moving on.
So Hurricanes win 5-3 of their Canucks in Columbus. The Blue Jackets got their cannon off 5 times, while the Avalanche just scored twice. McKinnon and Soderberg for the Avalanche, while Foligno, Dubois, Panarin, thank you, Foligno again, and Anderson get the goals for the team formerly known as the Neon Buggers. In Smashville tonight, they got smashed as they raised their President's Trophy banner, as they lose to the Calgary Flames 3-0. Mike Smith with the shutout in that one, with Lindholm, Monahan scoring twice in that game for Calgary. So the Flames go to 2-1.
Mike Smith officially changing his title from Shark Killer to Predator Hunter.
That works. You can leave. In the peg, Ilya Kovalchuk scored his first NHL goal in 5 years.
Oh, good for him.
But it wasn't enough, as Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor scored 2 goals for the Winnipeg Jets, who I believe showed off their aviator jerseys tonight. 2-1 the final there.
A.K.A. Walmart jerseys.
No comment.
I'm just saying.
Connor, hella, Buck, gets the win for that one. On the schedule tomorrow, you have Flyers and Senators. So the Flyers leave town right now, head up to the Trois. They will play the Senators in Ottawa at 4:30, the big one on NBCSN, because they couldn't, you know, promote the hell out of it during the game tonight. Golden Knights against Capitals in a rematch of the Stanley Cup Final. That's at 5. And then at 7 p.m., you have the Desert Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Taking on...
There you go. Oh, good sound.
The Anaheim, not Mighty Ducks, because they'll be back in the regular jerseys, at 7 p.m. in Quackenheim. And that is your NHL wrap around on this evening.
Well, let's talk about moving forward. The Sharks, 2 days from now, face a team that has not won a game yet. So if there is something, if there is a way to build on this victory and to get Jones a scotch of confidence, a small sample size of confidence, if you will, hello, Rags. So let's, you know, head down to 34th and what, 7th or somewhere in that area. Let's head down to Madison Square Garden. Let's make the Rags 0-4. Boy, that poor team. Wham, is what I'm saying. So I look forward to that. Yeah, I look forward to heading back north, even though they were just on the island and like a Frisbee's throw away from being in Madison Square Garden. Now they had to go down to Philly. But okay. Anyway, no problem. Either way. Hold on. You know what? It makes me want to look it up. It doesn't have... Okay, so the Rangers have already done their home opener. What a pity. Because it would have been really funny to spoil another one, is all I'm saying.
Not a home opener, but a game that's going to take place before Sharks and Rangers will be your San Jose Barracuda at home taking on...
Did somebody say Barracuda? Wait a minute. Hey, now. Somebody said Barracuda. All right.
That's right.
Green screen.
No. Barracuda, we're already 2-0 and playing tomorrow versus Bakersfield. What's up?
The Cuda are 2-0, looking pretty solid. Of course, we just took their best goal scorer away to sit in the
press box.
Yeah,
like after scoring twice on his first two shots in the AHL. Yeah, that was great. Right.
So they will take on the San Jose Barracuda. The Condors will be playing the San Jose Barracuda tomorrow night. Get your tickets now. That's a home game. Check it out. A couple of notes provided to us by the Sharks front office. Ivan Chekovic, who is currently in the QMJHL with Bay Como. He returned to his junior club, and in the opening 5 games of the season has scored 11 points. He's tied for 3rd in the league with 13 points and 2nd in assists. And he was named the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League's Player of the Week on October 1st.
Yeah, bring it on, big dog.
Wow.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I'm going to score, yeah.
Felix in the chat is surprised that scotch is an actual word.
It is, if you know, if you learn how to spell it.
Subscribe, you learn stuff.
You just got to learn how to spell it correctly, my brother.
S-K-O-S-H, my friends.
What are you, Jewish?
The password is scotch.
Tiny. A little. Oh, sorry. I thought
What about the Cuda?
And moving on, a little future fish right now. The talking Ryan Merkley, he went back to Guelph. He's had assists in 4 straight games. He has 6 assists on the season. So he's looking pretty good so far as he went back to the Guelph Storm in the OHL. A little closer to home, Joachim Lickfield. Has opened up with 17 points in 7 straight contests, including 5 straight multi-point efforts. Go ahead, Paige.
Here's my question.
Fire.
Who's the next defenseman to leave the Sharks franchise? Because we have Heath, and Simic. Sharks are dressing 8D right now. We know that Heat and Simic are not going to sniff a layer of ice outside of warm-ups. And then now you've got Merkley on fire. It just makes me wonder what is on the horizon for the Sharks. What are they going to do? They have to move a defenseman. They have to. What sorcery does Doug Wilson have in his pants? And when I say that, I mean his back pocket. Don't get crazy. But I'm just saying, he is going to whip out some magic. And he's going to just, I'm telling you, we've seen him pull this before. We've seen him pull this before. I am looking for Wilson to do something magical. You can't have Heat and Simic just riding in the box all season, dressing 8D. There's the opportunity of, yeah, if something goes sideways, you could potentially dress 70, put Heat out there just because of his booming shot. But Merkley is, he's this kid, high risk, but high reward. It's going to be real fun to see, again, problems that every head coach and every GM wish they had. In fact, I can name one in Ottawa and Vancouver that probably wish that they had these problems.
But maybe it's saying. Not a problem, though. What if Doug already knows what he's going to do?
I'm sure he already does.
You know what I mean?
Like, hey, literally Doug Wilson spoke to Eric and I for 20 minutes knowing what he was going to do and did not show his hand until the next
day. Yeah.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Darn it. Like that guy, I would not want to play poker with that guy. I'm just saying.
Mm-mm.
Right.
He would look at you every time and say, I have 7-2 off suit, and you would believe him every damn time.
Yeah.
I'm not even
like, I got nothing.
Or actually, you know what it'd be? You'd look at Wilson and go, so what do you got there? And he goes, I never talk about cards. I don't discuss cards.
And the next thing you know,
boom, aces, bullets.
We have a trade to announce.
So, you know.
All right. Okay. So, Eric has gone into the sampling machine. So, time to wrap it up, kids.
Oh, okay. Wow. I guess I just ruined everything. Questions in the chat. Let's hear it. You've been very vocal.
Probably
in
should have started
tonight.
That before the reach around, but okay.
Whatever. But we'll go. We'll go fine.
Oh, Sleepy Mofo throwing it down. LeBanc with 4 assists. What's the equivalent for the Jumbo Rooster? Oh, I think he needs to show like half a cheek. If you get 4 assists in it, you got to show half a cheek. That's all I'm saying.
Why not both cheeks?
Okay. Both cheeks. You don't have to go full-blown rooster, but like maybe just, you know, pumpkin head off the back end.
You never half-ass anything. If you're going to put your bass on, you need to go full-ass.
Right? Okay. So there you go. So 4 goals is a rooster trick, and, 4 assists is an ass trick. A LeBanc ass trick.
Wow.
Jessica in the chat asks, how different does this game look if it weren't for Jumbo being sidelined?
I don't know that it would be that. Well, I honestly don't know if it would be that different because we don't know what the Sharks would have done versus the Islanders if Jumbo had been in that game. That could have been different. And even if it did end up being the same way, it was 4-0, I still think PDB would have jumbled the lines. But let's be honest. I mean, PDB broke into like the chocolate safe tonight. Like he sat there with the dial and just listened for the clicks. He had the stethoscope and he was just right on there and he went up, get a dial. Oh, I dialed it in. Here comes the, oh, look, there's where all the goals are. I knew they were there somewhere.
Mulrat33 earlier was saying people want a goalie controversy like the Niemi Stalock debacle ended well.
Like the Nabokov Toskala debacle ended well.
Before my time.
And now let me. Why did Picard not see a moment of ice tonight?
Don't they have a doubleheader?
I mean, a back to back?
Yeah. Sorry, baseball.
She works for baseball. Everybody calm down.
I work for baseball. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, don't they have a back-to-back? I think Philly does.
Right. Yeah. Shiny hockey's. Oh, go ahead.
I'm on Rocket's question. Like, how do you not pull Elliott in this one after three goals? I mean, even the guys on NHL on NBC were asking, like, I am surprised Elliott is still in this game. Now, I granted, every once in a while you have your forward thinking. So you sit there and you go, you know what? I already had plans. It's like if he won this 7-0 or if he lost it 0-7, he was going to be in the entire game, I suppose. But I'm surprised that Elliott stayed in the entire game, that he was just, it was very, I didn't say he was going to, like, you know, skate over to the box after two periods and say, I'm never playing here again like Patrick Waugh, but still.
Yeah. You know. A couple of people asking when Puck Mom's going to be a guest host. We'll see about that. Alec Vincent Myers' goal might not be that important, but it still displayed a great amount of skill.
Yeah. So finally, just want to put it out there one more time. We are running the kind of drive to 1,000 hashtag TTUSA1000. We've got a prize box, people. I've got autographed pucks. I've got a pair of tickets to the game versus Columbus. And based on Jessica's last comment, she will not win any of those. No, but I have the prize box is pretty full, people. So we are driving to 1,000 subscribers for the YouTube channel. So please, by all means, share it with a friend, get more people to subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TealTownUSA. Totally appreciate it. We want to hit 1,000 because we hit 1,000 all of a sudden that it's the idea of the stethoscope on the safe, and we can unlock the door to do a lot more cool things. We just need 1,000 subscribers.
Yep. We do this for all of you Sharks fans, fellow Teal Town loves, and all that fun stuff. So if you missed anything or you want to watch this again, make sure you hit up the website at tealtownusa.com or your favorite FOD catcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, you name it, you love it.
I don't do this for everybody, but because we need 1,000, I'm going to tilt the camera.
There, oh boy.
There she is, people. There she is. She's right there. If you get me 1,000 subscribers right now, I'll wake her up. I'm not even lying.
Chris says if we get 10,000 subscribers, Kayla and Edgar will host the show.
There you go.
And but I'm jealous. I don't have a cash.
There she is. You thought when we went to the smaller panels that she wasn't there? Bull. Still there. Kayla after dark.
Oh, God. Felix, same here. Austin Matthews helping me big in fantasy. I hope he got the hat trick. All right, final thoughts on where the people can find you, Miss Rocket Backhander.
Final thoughts. Well, I guess this team is like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. There's a lot of components that are sort of, they're limited on their own. Bread, white bread, you can only do so much with it, you know. Peanut butter, you can't, I mean, with a spoon, yeah, but that's it. Jelly on its own, you can't do anything with. But together, they're a delicious snack, you know. They're sustainable. They're sweet. They're got everything there. They hit all the notes. I think this team is turning into a delicious peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's what I think.
I feel like she's using those condiments incorrectly.
Ew! I don't like clean. Anyway.
Let's get sticky.
So my name is Rocket Backhander, and you can find me on Twitter at capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76. I post and repost a lot of stuff about hockey, some other weird, goofy stuff, some bizarre GIFs that I find. I mean, GIFs, if you're that kind of person. You know, I just follow me. And more importantly, like and subscribe to this darn channel. We're trying to get to 1,000. Also, you can check me out on Instagram where I take lots of pictures of my life as a Sharks fan here in Nashville. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's tragic. But it's always entertaining. Did you?
Hey, now. I am AJ underscore strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram. Also throwing out some stuff on Tealtown USA's Instagram. As always. Follow at Tealtown USA on the gram, on the Facebook, on the Twitter machine. Again, drive to, oh, let me center it. There you go. Drive to 1,000 people. 1,000 YouTube. Yeah. 1,000 YouTube subscribers, if you would please. That's what we're working on. So that's where you can find me. Final thoughts. Hey, right now, power play's clicking at 12%. Let's try to double that, shall we? And a great opportunity to work on that is versus a winless New York Rangers team on Thursday.
Absolutely. So that's when we will be back Thursday night after the Sharks take on the New York Rangers. That is a 4 p.m. start, or is it 4:30, guys?
Well, I don't know. We all know that tonight was supposed to be 4, and it turned into 4:30.
That's true.
But it is listed as a 4 p.m. start, so we'll see what happens.
And that'll be back with Randy and the gang on NBC Sports California. Of now, course, you can check out Dan Rusinowski on the KFOX. Go ahead.
Will we see the return of Curtis Brown yet?
I would think so. I would think he's served his suspension of the smelling salts.
Bring back Seto. Hashtag bring back Seto.
I thought you were going to say Crankshaft.
But... No, I thought Setaguchi did a fantastic
Crankshaft.
Job.
I thought he did great.
I think Cranky did okay. He needs to acknowledge the fact that there is a camera in the room once in a while. But I thought Setaguchi did a fantastic job.
Yeah, but Crankshaft is better to look at.
Oh,
no, I mean, like, he has a presence that's more suited for television, I think. He's just a bit like, I don't know, his aura is bigger. It's weird to describe.
All right. So for those of you who are uninitiated among the 50 of you watching, Rocket may be doing an After Dark here in a little while just about Crankshaft. So look forward to that.
I don't know anything about it.
All right. Get us out.
And with that, make sure you hit the subscribe button down below. Check out Tealtown USA for all awesome content. Ian Reed put out something special about the Barracuda. Of course, Mr. Felix Chow has started a new series, Growing the Game. Look forward to that. So until Thursday night, after the Sharks take on the Rangers, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. We will see you after the Sharks go to Manhattan. Good night, everyone.